It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox!
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb!
Go Red Sox!
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb!
Wall Dick, well, yeah!
She made out with my dad.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
This is the guy from Machine.
Guy from Machine.
Come see me. And it wouldn't be 98 Mile without your favorite bartender in the city. Come to the Machine. Machine, Machine, Machine. This one's for you, Freda. Sports are the jam. It's the place where the hosts are schlubby and the co-host chubby. Except Fred, he will be my hubby. Hello! All your hosts should come here soon.
Come to Machine
and check your boom boom. I'll be happy. I'll sing my tune.
I'll boopity bop my boom boom.
Come to Machine today. Get your boom boom on the floor tonight. Bring Remy. Come to Machine today. Save that guy named Dennis Eckersley. Just for me. Check that boom boom. Check that boom boom. Hello, Freddy.
Hello.
Hello, Dennis.
Hello.
Dennis. Hello, Freddy.
Hello.
A rugged double bear. Check that boom boom for me. This is the guy from Machine. Check that boom boom.
Wave the flag, hide it, the gate flag power.
Hello. Check that boom boom. Come to the Machine, 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 Machine. Check that boom boom.
See you Friday or Saturday night. Bye.
Check that boom boom for me.
Hello.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Touch of Him Rich Radio Program. Tom Fair Tire Studios. 617-779-0985. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv. Yesterday, when I got home with my children, the cleaning lady was there, and she was vacuuming, and all of a sudden, the lights dimmed. And I just figured that maybe she'd come close to blowing a fuse, and life went on. And my wife was walking our dog with another woman and her dog when she was approached by the news. And they said, did you hear that this such and such a building had an explosion? There was a manhole explosion by this building.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife was on the news. The reporter, Steve Cooper. Steve Cooper, an on-the-street reporter.
Of all the people. Did she know who he was?
She did not.
Okay.
But she said that he gave her a strange look when she said her name. But there she was for all of 4 seconds on the news yesterday.
Huh.
But they asked her, what do you think about the big manhole explosion? And she didn't really have anything to say.
Where was this explosion? Like
on Homer Street in Newton.
Oh, okay.
By the public library.
Okay.
I don't know anything else about it, except that my wife talked to Steve Cooper and that our lights flickered for but a moment. Mm. Again, our power has never gone out. Our power has never gone out.
Lucky.
Yeah.
I think we've been pretty lucky, too, and we live like in downtown where there's always shenanigans.
Yeah, the power don't go out of Newton, baby.
Yeah, we haven't had a ton of
that. Pay for that privilege.
They have there's power lines that are maybe 4 feet off the ground.
But they're made of titanium, but so they never snap.
I don't know. They're wildly, like, just spider-webbed into houses at weird angles. And I mean, you could jump up and grab them if you wanted to. But the power just does not go out.
We don't have power going out, but we have train shenanigans everywhere. Like for the past, like it seems like every week there is some new. I'm seeing it on the news right now. Some new malfunction with the trains.
Wait a minute, the T is malfunctioning?
I mean,
that's not true.
So there's a video that came out.
Swiss watch that organization.
I don't know if you saw this. There's a video that came out yesterday of a red line train that just by itself rolled through about like three different stations with nobody in it. Like going
there's
fast
no conductor?
As hell. No, what had happened was somebody was trying to uncouple one of the trains because they were going to work on some air conditioning thing, and it got loose and just flew through three stations with nobody
like
in it.
It's like Unstoppable.
Yeah, it's right. It's like the movie Unstoppable.
I thought that every train, well, I know that back in the day, trains had the dead man's. Like dead man's something switch or something, and that you held that in order for the train to operate, it had to be being held.
Okay,
and that if at any point it was released, the train was thereby made immovable.
I think this was gravity. I think that this.
But
thing
no,
was...
no. But the idea is that this dead man's thing would make all wheels break.
Okay, if you weren't like pulling it at the same time, yeah, I'm not sure. I just know that this video is nuts. It's rolling right through. Oh,
they need that dead man's break.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't have it. I mean, and the term dead man is fairly appropriate. There's been some shenanigans as well.
So what, did people die? Did it smash into things?
So no, this one, thank goodness there was nobody. There wasn't a train that was at any of those stations at the time. But I mean, a month ago, there was a dude who got his arm caught in a door that closed and he ended up dying as it took off. Oh, dude, it's been shenanigans. I mean, one thing after the next, it's like... I don't know if, and now they're obviously canceling a bunch of times. They've shortened the schedule because they don't even have enough people to work anymore. But it's like, you know, then they took away a couple of trains off the tracks just because they wanted to check on a few things, but there was nothing wrong. They just removed several trains from the tracks. But yeah, but just for no good reason, just because we want to look at things.
I haven't been on a train that wasn't an Amtrak in years. I haven't taken the train to go anywhere.
See, we take them all the time, and my son takes one every day, well, during the school year. So, I mean, this is... It's fairly concerning that this stuff happens all the time now.
But you could be sitting in Press Cafe on Needham Street and have a woman and her daughter go right through the window.
That's right. They drove right into the side of it.
It was a big deal in Newton yesterday. Newton was the place to be. If you want an explosion on Homer Street, you can get that. If you want to go to the other side of town on Needham Street, you get a car going through the window of a Press Cafe. Now, do they know how that happened? Because I would doubt she was intoxicated. It was very early in the day. Was she upset about a line? Did she take her aggressions out on the window? Because it seems like something that would have to be almost that you were sleeping or it was deliberate.
If I'm going to guess, it was somebody looking down at their phone.
Okay, because...
That's a guess, but
I've been to that Press Cafe several times, and that would take some doing. To go through the window of the Press Cafe.
A woman in her 50s. And some witnesses say she may have hit the gas instead of the brake. It's like, you don't say.
Okay, yeah, but that doesn't just happen.
No.
Like, I've never been in my car and gone like, oh, now I'm flooring it into Press Cafe.
Someone says she just hit the wrong pedal. You know, she meant to hit the brake. She hit the gas. And thank God none of the shards of glass went through the roof. It honestly sounds like she hit the gas instead of the brakes. How far off the road is that?
Far off the road, there's a parking lot.
Yeah, that seems like you would know by then that you're hitting the wrong.
Same kind if of she thing. Was drunk, hell yeah. I mean, that was early in the day.
More to that. We had that in Natick where a car went through a parking lot and smashed in the front of a liquor store in Natick.
Yeah.
Same excuse. We're like, oh, I hit the gas instead of the brake. you know, obviously, if you're headed towards a liquor store, the alcohol tends to come into play. I believe the person was indeed drunk.
Yes.
When he smashed through the window of the liquor store.
You'd almost hope so, because to be that incompetent a driver in your 50s.
If I remember correctly.
Unless, and I don't see this here, unless she was parked in front of the business and then hit the wrong pedal. Then it's like 2 seconds and you're in. You know,
I don't know.
I can maybe understand that.
I don't know. She was pretty well in that business. That's like the Tiger Woods thing. Like, you don't understand. It's very windy there. No. That doesn't happen when you're driving.
No.
You don't just, like, you're not driving down an empty road and all of a sudden your car blows over into the other side of the road.
Yeah,
that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 47. I've had my license since I was 16. That doesn't happen. I'd figured that I would have experienced it by now. And I have hit the wrong pedal, obviously. And, like, my father backed up one time out of our driveway and hit a school bus that was coming around the corner. But that was more just there was a blind spot and he didn't see it. So several children died. But we got off because, you know, we're the touchers. But no one was injured, except my friends were very excited. Hey, Mr. Toucher, you hit our car.
Well, speaking of cars going down, like the, you know, and driving all out of control, yesterday there was about three blocks near where I lived that were marked off, and you weren't allowed to go down any of the streets because they're filming the new Denzel Washington movie down near where I live.
Yeah, shut it down, baby. Shut down the city.
It's called, I think it's the Equalizer 3, I believe, the third one. Now, are they going to somehow bring Latifah in there? Is she part of the Equalizer canon?
Or the
seeing that she is on TV?
Or the original Equalizer, who I don't even know who that was.
That's right. He's got to be dead,
It was
right?
Mr. Belvedere.
Yeah, he was like 90 when that show was on in the 80s.
Yeah. You got to figure he's dead.
You got to think. So I'm not sure if they're bringing that in, but you know, there's a ton of movies that are filmed downtown where I live all the time, and the one thing that I've learned is that even if there are people there who look like police officers telling you're not allowed to go down the streets, you have every right to go down those streets.
It's like
there's been so many times where I've been yelled at, no, sorry, it's live set, I can't go down there, and I'm walking my dog, he's got to take a dump, I'm walking right through the street, and they can't stop you. They can try to intimidate you and say, but I mean, I've seen a ton. No, that's your neighborhood. They have no right to be there. They have just as much right as you do to be there, and you can walk right through. And so there's times where I try to, like last night, my dog had to take a dump, and you know, there's the guy with the clipboard, but they dress him to almost kind of look like a cop, and they're like, "I'm sorry, sir, you can't come through here." And I'm like, "What's going on?" He goes, "Well, you know, it's live set. It'll be just a few minutes." And I'm like, "A few minutes?" And I look at the guy and I wait for about 30 seconds because I want to, you know, okay, maybe he'll let me through. And then if I have 30 seconds, like, I'm done. And I just walk right through the set. Because my dog's got to take a dump. It's my neighborhood. Like, you're in there filming a movie. I'll be cool for a minute or so. But after that, just know that they have no right to stop you from going onto a public street if they're filming a movie. And it happens all the time because I guess the city can look like, oh, they've made it look like London before. A million movies are set in New York, but they're actually in Boston being filmed. That happens. I mean, I can't name the amount of movies that they've done that for because it's so much cheaper to film here.
Citizen Rich. Mm-hmm. Tips.
Yes.
Tips at 6.
They do not have a right to keep you off of the street. Now, they'll make it seem like it's official, but it's not.
They took the downtown Detroit, like as downtown as it can be, right across from the Westin Hotel, right by the stadiums, and they just made it Transformers. They had the Transformer accident. I mean, it was a real, like, Detroit was just like here. And they just gave them Woodward Avenue, the avenue that goes through the city. And they had it all, the robots and everything else mm-hmm. all lined up. And they were there all night.
Now, could you see the robots?
Yes.
And
now, there was a big police presence there because they didn't want people screwing, obviously, with the stuff. But in the median of the road, there was a car that was like upside down in another car.
Okay.
Like that, obviously, they had filmed for like some post-apocalyptic looking accident world.
Sure.
And yeah, Detroit, but they don't do it anymore. They took it away from Detroit.
Did you see some Wahlbergs out there?
No,
Wahlberg came in the later years of the Transformers.
I got you, Prime. Is that what it was?
I won't give up on you, Prime.
That's it.
I know. I was just staying at the hotel and I was like, wow, Detroit just allowed them, they just gave them Woodward.
Need cash.
And you couldn't drive down Woodward, and they were just like, who cares? Screw you. And it's the main artery into the city, and they were just like, meh. I don't know what to tell you. They gave us $20 and they camped out there. It's funny, every time that I think that it's stupid that, you know, cities allowed like movies to be filmed because it's inconvenient, then like some like gaffer emails me some long email about how ignorant I am to the...
Oh, I don't mind that they're filming there. It's because, you know what, it's weird is that they find, like, there's a lot of scenes that are filmed at 2 in the morning down the street.
Oh, sure.
And they, you know, just so it looks like a nighttime scene. But they do a decent job doing that. But sometimes, you know, they have to shut down, like, entire roads.
Yeah, the time I'm driving through Boston to try and get, I don't know, I had Celtics tickets or whatever.
You made a mistake right there.
That's true. But... when you drive to the Garden, you do have to pop up downtown
at some point.
Yeah,
I know. You're out of your mind driving there.
They closed down the Common. I think it was some Mel Gibson movie, but they closed it down on a Friday.
Yeah, they shut down the Common a lot.
Oh, my God.
The Common I don't know how many movies.
What are you thinking? If you're in the city of Boston, how much money do you have to make in order to do that?
And by the way, do you know how... fun it is to watch them shoot the scenes.
Yeah,
and
you fall asleep watching this damn thing.
There was this movie studio, like, what I don't even know what movie it was. It was like a major motion picture. This guy used to be friends with it that lives in Newton. Said, you want to come over? They're filming this scene, like, in front of my house. Like, they paid, and like they were using his garage as like they had food and stuff in the garage for the crew. And the scene was a woman is walking down the street and then a car pulls up and then she starts to run. When I'm telling you that it took them 8 hours to film that scene, which might have been 40 seconds of the film,
yep.
They started with a stunt double. Then this is what I was told. I mean, it was so boring. I lasted like 10 seconds.
I was in New York City where they were filming. Remember that Bruce Willis movie, The Color of Night?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was a lot of nudity.
Dark,
a very dark movie. The opening scene where the woman jumps off the building and crashes, whatever. They were filming that, and it took them, well, I was watching because I had no idea what was going on. I stumbled on it, and I was watching. It took them, well, longer than I had. I stayed about 20 minutes, but they were just, like, all right, action, and then the woman laid there.
No, this was all day, and they had a stunt double, then the actress... Then a stunt double. I mean, it was just, it went on and on and on and on and on. I mean, shooting a movie looks just excruciating.
So out of all the movies that I've seen being filmed around town, I did accidentally stumble upon one awesome scene being filmed in a flick. And that was, I was in New York and I happened to be, I had to get up early because I had an early flight. And I was staying near Times Square and I happened to be there when they were filming. Remember the movie Vanilla Sky?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a scene in it where... Tom Cruise, I don't even remember what the scenario was, but he kind of flips out and he's having this hallucination and he runs out in the middle of Times Square.
Yeah, it's empty.
And it's during
the day.
Yeah. I was there for that scene. It was at like 5:30 in the morning on like a Sunday morning and they shut down Times Square.
It's the beginning of the movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
And my hotel room was right off Times Square and I was going to go downstairs to get a coffee and they had everything filmed out and I actually saw Tom Cruise filming that scene. Now that was awesome because... legitimately nothing was going on. They had all of like the screens like set to certain things that were from the movie and everything. It was really odd seeing Times Square that quiet and then right in the middle of it was Tom Cruise actually running around.
And then COVID came and said, we can do you one better. We'll make it like this for a month.
Yes.
All right, Rich, what is going on in the world?
Red Sox are still good, especially against bad teams.
Yep. Cardinals striking out too much, Johnny boy.
Motor City Kitties didn't look too good last night.
They're not good.
Yeah.
They're not good. They don't, and these youngsters are not producing. Not good. Well, and they should never have went and got Baez. I don't know why they did that. But nonetheless, we'll...
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
This is Toucher and Rich.
It sounds like the biggest nightmare, and why anyone would choose it, I don't know.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
Well, the Red Sox hot streak continues.
He'll loop it into center field. That'll get it done. One run is in. Here comes Story. Two runs will score. That's a 3-for-3 night for Franchy Cordero. And the Red Sox lead it 5-1.
Well, that is Nesson, and a whole lot of recent AAA guys beat up on what is essentially a AAA team as the Sox beat the Detroit Tigers 5-2, making that 6 wins in the last 8 games. Josh Winkowski, he did his job. He went through the Detroit lineup with 6 2/3 innings. Not bad for Josh Winkowski to do that. That's kind of awesome.
Where did Winkowski pitch?
They got him in the Andrew Benintendi trade with the Mets. I think he was technically in the Mets system. This was when Chaim Bloom was grabbing as many minor leaguers as he could. And so Winkowski's been in Worcester.
Rule 5 guy?
No, not a Rule 5 guy. Sorry.
No,
but yes, that was
Rule 5 guy. Got no time.
Third major league start last night.
Well, a lot of guys last night who kind of made a little bit of a bang were all starting in like Worcester or AAA rather.
How Trevor Story has ever hit a home run is fascinating.
Well, I mean, he had that hot 3 weeks.
Well, no, just by his size. Now, I have been to many, many Red Sox games this year, and I've seen many, many Trevor Story at bats. Mm-hmm. The idea that he has the power to somehow lift the ball out of any park, let alone Fenway.
He's like 6'2", right?
Oh, I don't know about that, Johnny Boy.
I think he's listed at 6'1 or 6'2".
He's a very, very, very thin man, and I am questioning the height on him.
I'm looking
I don't care what he's listed at.
Okay.
Well, on top of...
I question his... I mean, it's amazing. Oh, he's listed at 6'2", 213. Uh-huh. Is there a way we could get him in here and measure and weigh him and make a wager on if just by how many pounds and inches they're off?
Yeah. No, Baseball Reference and ESPN both have him at 6'2", 213.
Yeah. I wonder when that measurement was taken.
I don't know.
Was there not a combine of any sort?
No, that's true. But he's been in the league for a while.
Are you saying to kid him here in like one of those water tanks where you do the fat calipers and all that stuff? Isn't that where the official body? Isn't that how you do officially
body
do
mass
it?
Like index.
You're in a water tank.
If Trevor Story is awake, if you could come down to Dorchester, I would love to weigh and measure you because. Because you look at these other guys, I mean, you look at, like, I'll just give you the info about St. Louis. If you look at Arenado and, like, Goldschmidt and Tyler O'Neill, they're all, like, even Arenado is, like, thin, but he's got huge shoulders. Otani's huge shoulders, but he's thin. I mean, these guys nowadays, for the most part, are big. This Trevor Story, I mean, Bogarts is a big guy. Devers, obviously.
Yeah, but I mean, guys like Bregman and Altuve hit home runs, too.
No, and it's amazing to me. But Altuve's got, like, an ass. Like, Altuve's got, like, thighs and ass. That's what you need for power. Trevor Story's built, built like me when I was, like, a kid.
So Story doesn't have an ass that's big enough to lift the ball in the air and hit home runs.
If you're being facetious, you are the one who's ignorant, because yes, that is what's required generally, is your power comes from your core.
Mm-hmm. And that's so true.
Yes, it is, as a matter of fact, 100% true. And so your snide remarks are falling on deaf ears for me. But he's more straight down, because I check all their butts out.
I see.
No, but in all seriousness, because if he's hitting right-handed, I mean, I'm looking right at him. I'm always at the visitor's bench.
That's true.
Dugout.
Yep.
And
you got the good seats?
Well, no, I get kicked out. The seats I pay, everything's changing next year.
Oh. Well, you're moving down?
Yeah, because the seats I sit in are $190. I don't like sitting in them. And so in the seats that I sit in are like $120.
So it's not the view. It's just the climbing of the, you're too far away, or is it?
I like.
Because I've sat up there. It's kind of nice.
It's nice. You know what? It would be nice once or twice, but I like being by the dugout, the visitor's dugout. I like seeing what's doing down there.
Okay.
Sometimes, like, I was at the at a game where a guy from the Angels got into it with a fan. In fact, I can show you a video of it because baseball, the guy who collects all the baseballs I'm in the video, me and my son. I look great. You could see the dude from the Angels fighting the guy. Like, I saw that.
Huh.
Something's always going on. And then you get you smell like poo. You get that guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I remember you played that clip. That's right.
No. The guy reached out to me. He's like, yeah, you smell like poo guy.
Oh, hang on. Who is the... Is he not the baseball guy? Because we played a clip of the dude who ran around to get the baseballs.
No,
it's
no,
not
no.
that he smelled like poo? Okay.
No. You smell like poo guy is a guy that almost felt, it almost looked like he was just compelled to do it. Because I don't know the term. I always misuse it. But he didn't, there was no urgency to it or like any kind of energy behind it. Mm-hmm. He would just be like, say they're playing the Angels, he'd be like,
Shohei Ohtani.
He'd like, you smell like poo. And then he would go back to doing like his phone.
Okay.
Like he'd look up and who else is Grant? There's a guy, Grant, with long hair or something. He's like, hey, Grant, you smell like poo. And he'd just be texting on his phone. And the dude reached out to me. He's like, yeah, I'm going to smell like poo.
With pride, apparently.
He's like, I always think that they'll remember that. Because rather than just yelling at him and swearing at him.
He's probably right. I'd remember that.
You smell like poo.
True, it's creative. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he does it every time a batter has an unsuccessful at bat.
Well, Jaron Duran, Frangie Cordero, also guys that, wow, this is interesting. They both reach base three times each. It used to be at the beginning of the year, there was just like your stars were the only ones really doing stuff. And now you've got a little bit of depth. It looks like they're adding a little bit of depth here.
Cordero is another guy who came in. He was the main piece of that Benintendi trade.
That's what I'm saying.
Duran's supposedly a prospect. Duran is one of those.
I guess
they compared him to Ellsbury when he was in the lower minors. He's been waiting for him.
So,
yeah. No, he's
so he's got a cannon arm?
No, he doesn't. He throws like Johnny Damon. Actually, he does not throw the ball
but
well.
But he's fast on the bases.
Yes. Yeah. He's a rarity in today's major league, which is a leadoff hitter that's fast.
He's a Jackie Bradley Jr. type.
Okay.
Sure.
He got glasses.
He'll be great for a month.
That's right. He was diagnosed, Jackie Bradley, with an astigmatism.
Yeah.
That apparently was the reason he couldn't hit, and not 8 years of not hitting.
Well, it was a good day
at all.
Good day at the ballpark against a bad team. Hey, get those wins however you can. Here's Alex Cora.
We've been able to maximize our roster in a way that we feel comfortable on a nightly basis to mix and match and do stuff that probably early on we were a little bit, short. It feels now that we're in the flow of things. Today you saw it, Strami, he gets the switch hitters and whatever. Then we bring the righty for a tough righty there with Javi. And then Tanner did the job at the end. So we're in a good place.
Okay, I just have one question. Why were the Red Sox wearing their Boston Marathon jerseys yesterday? Am I missing something?
I have no idea. I really don't. I have no clue why.
Is there something going on involving the Boston Marathon right now that I don't know about?
I think it's like the Celtics randomly will wear black statement uniforms. I think that it was just time.
Dan was saying that Alex Cora joked that the fan shop just needed to sell more jerseys.
Yeah, you know what? That's probably literally true. Yeah.
Literally what he said.
Like, I mean, because I can't think of any reason. Because this is.
Because they were rocking light blue on Sunday for some charity.
Yeah, but this is only specifically when there's been the Boston Marathon in the past.
Day.
They've worn.
Father's Day. Okay, so they. These are the. It's not only Boston that has these alternate uniforms. They're called the city uniforms, city something uniforms. And other teams, not every team in the majors, but other teams have them too. So these just happen to look like the marathon. They do not have to be connected to the marathon.
I thought they had the logo on it.
The first time they wore them, they were specifically marathon colors.
But you understand that this is not a Boston thing. This is a Major League Baseball thing that had them. This happens to be Boston's city, whatever, jersey. New York has one. Some other markets have one.
Originally, though, they were marathon jerseys that have now become the city uniforms.
That is incorrect. They were the city uniforms from the get.
Well, they've never worn these before the Boston Marathon, before they did it for the Boston Marathon, right? They've only worn them with the Boston Marathon.
These, again.
They might have morphed into that, but up until this point.
They did not morph into this. What happened was Major League Baseball picked a handful of teams, and they said, we're going to make you a city something. You know, if I could talk and type at the same time, I'd find you the other ones. I'm sure the Yankees, for instance, have one. I know the Cardinals don't. Very ripped off. Very ripped off. And this happens to be the ones that they made. And so thereby, you can wear them at any time. It's a way to get you to buy an alternate jersey. That is what Major League Baseball is doing. They're rolling them out. In fact, St. Louis wants them so bad that they make like mock ones, like the Lou and stuff like that.
Yeah, the White Sox, they say Southside on them, and they're pinstriped.
There you go. So the White Sox cityscape uniforms, whatever, are those. These are those for the Red Sox.
Well, the Sox, they are now 6 games over .500 for the first time this year. They've now passed the Rays for third in the AL East.
Means they have a playoff spot now.
Yeah, they're right there. By the way, Manny Ramirez was in the broadcast booth yesterday. Didn't you say Eck was surprisingly quiet during all of
that? Yeah, most of it was the bottom of the fourth inning. They brought Manny up, and Manny and Kevin Millar spoke for most of that inning, and Eck said nothing.
See, when Eck doesn't speak, it's a bad thing.
Yes, that's correct.
Here's like a little tiny segment of it.
When we used to play away, we used to go maybe to dinner together. Mm-hmm. Now these days, maybe these kids, you know, they stay in the room playing video games, chatting.
Ordering chicken fingers and playing video games. And we were at the hotel bar talking about the game that night.
And sending the bill to Pedro.
Yeah, and Manny wasn't picking up the bill. Millar had no money, so we had to go Pedro.
Sending the bill to Pedro.
To Pedro and Ortiz.
Yeah, Pedro, this is on you, buddy.
Now, why is Manny in town? What's he doing?
I don't know, he's having fun.
Is he selling juice like Johnny Damon was?
Telling great stories.
Is he selling the Johnny Damon juice?
Is Johnny Damon on the? All I know is Johnny Damon was on the.
He wasn't here for that. We got to play this.
We
got to
play. So I looked up on the TV and I saw Johnny Damon on like Boston 25. First of all, I didn't know it was Johnny Damon at first. I'm like, what's Charles Manson doing?
I know he let his hair go again, and poor Gene Levante doing the best he can over there.
But he was a star spokesman for whatever he was selling.
Oh, I'd like to hear it because he was on that. Yacht show down Below Deck. He was one of the guests on Below Deck. So Johnny getting the deal on the cruise. But I got to tell you, I hope they have Manny up more if they're going to tell more rad stories like how they would. You know, these kids are up there playing video games. We would be getting wasted.
Let's talk about the estrogen you took, Manny.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I want.
The best thing was Manny, when he left here, was not liked at all. I remember he knocked over the traveling secretary.
We were here.
The Red Sox put him on irrevocable waivers and nobody claimed him. And then he left. And now he's back and everything's fine.
Yeah.
Everything is magically okay.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure Millar was drinking in the bar with Manny all the time. I'm sure the two of them were thick as thieves. The two of them. Nowadays, these kids are playing video games. But back then, you know, we would be down at the bar talking about the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd send the bill to Ortiz. Ha, 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 ha. All right. What's coming up, Rich?
Oh, well, we will get to actually, you know what? Even though the basketball season is over, it doesn't mean that there aren't people in other sports ripping on the Celtics for how they went out.
Yes, I saw that. And also, but I mean, the NBA draft is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Thursday night.
Yeah. It's all but the first pick, I guess, is all but settled. So we shall see. And I guess the Pistons very much want to get into the Sacramento spot.
I'm being reminded it's Manny Ramirez and David Ortiz's kids are play for the Brockton Rocks.
Yep, Sheffield's kid too.
And I guess that they're here in town for that. And there's a thing Thursday I think we were invited to, if you want to bring the old kids down to the Brockton Rocks.
Where is Brockton?
South.
He's easy to get to at rush hour.
Very south.
Because they don't have anything going on. No, we're not going to a Brockton Rocks game. All right, we'll be right back here.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Sports Hub.
An invitation to this show means nothing.
Here are Toucher and Rich.
We just do. We go for the jugular.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, yeah. We are the 99.
Were you about to say Steakhouse? Always the real deal?
No, I was about to say 99X because you said we're shooting a commercial today and I have a 99X fleece on. So that was in my head.
I'm sure we have a... Is there a Toucher and Rich shirt here, maybe?
Yeah. I'll just be wearing my own gear.
It's just like... You'll be like Jason Newsted at Metallica. Always wearing a Metallica shirt.
Because, you know, he didn't want to... Listen, so you got to pinch pennies. They probably made him pay for them. All right. What's going on?
All right. So even though the Bruins have been out for a while, and even though the Celtics just lost, it seems like they're all both getting tied in a way to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Hedman, left side feed, Maroon across the line. Kucherov left circle. Back from Maroon behind the net. Cuts in front, back edge on. Score!
All right, Michigan.
Hey, Maroon! Okay. 5-2 Lightning!
All right, so the Lightning looked great yesterday, and now they have gotten things a little bit closer in the Stanley Cup. There's been three games, and Colorado leads 2-1. But one thing that they've done wisely in the broadcast is they've brought in Charles Barkley, because there's really nothing Charles Barkley is a part of that he doesn't make better. He's like Samuel L. Jackson in many ways in almost any film, or Steve Buscemi. If they're in it, the movie's instantly better just because of their presence. But Charles Barkley couldn't resist taking a little jab at the Boston Celtics.
We want to give you a chance to, you know, you break down the NBA so great. We're going to show Andre Palat's go-ahead goal. And Chuck, if you could take us through this and tell us exactly what's going on and the key to this play and Andre Palat. What do you got so far?
Well, this is a turnover, number one.
Not that right.
This is a regular Jason Tatum turnover. I'm just joking. And that, listen, that's just a heck of a goal and a heck of a pass. I love you, Jason Tatum. I'm just joking.
So it's still obviously fresh.
You have 100 turnovers in the postseason.
Yeah, I don't see any problem with that at all.
It's fair game.
It's not wrong.
When you do it that much, and yeah. You know what? Let it burn. Let that be the one thing you remember and you work on during the offseason. Because if you just fix your turnovers, The team instantly becomes just that much better. So he's still getting burned. In the meanwhile, the whole city of Boston's getting their comeuppance if you watched any of the Warriors parade yesterday. One thing I did find funny is that LeBron always finds a way to somehow include himself in things like this, who is still begging to have the parade that they didn't get to have because they won during the bubble. How awkward would that be now, 2 years later, I'm sorry, three championships later, to have a parade?
You couldn't do it.
No.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't, because you'd have to bring back a bunch of other people who aren't on the Lakers anymore?
Pretty much.
What does Russell Westbrook do during that time?
Plus, you have to shut the city down, which I don't think I'm doing.
No.
By the way, James,
I was reading the Warriors parade route. It was like a mile. It wasn't very long at all.
Yeah, they're used to it at this point.
And they're also like way, it appeared to me that they were like way downtown. So if they started downtown and just, you know, that mile is covers a lot of people. It seemed that way. Just for my ignorant eyes, it seemed like there was some tall buildings everywhere. So you give me a mile of tall buildings. It wasn't the Braves parade where they went many, many miles very, very quickly. And I don't even know if they went downtown at all.
Well, there was also a bunch of people around town here very upset that there was Draymond Green wearing a Boston Sucks shirt. He did not. People did not like that very much.
They yelled at him. They said F him the entire time.
And to that I say, well, then you have no right to complain if you're one of those people who had a 28-3 logo on your T-shirt or on the internet. I would say that it's all fair game when you end up winning. But here's, Fred, you got it in Vox Pro here. A little bit of Draymond Green from his press conference, from him on stage talking with a microphone, which initially they weren't going to allow him to do.
Is this him with the microphone on stage, or is this him with his mom and the dude from the television network?
This is him on stage.
Okay.
What's this about, and how is it different from some of the other sports drinks we see out there?
All right, well, this...
That's not it. That's not it.
No, oh, cool. It's not?
It's Draymond, no.
Wait, no, that's not it? Mm-mm. That sounded like he was on stage talking about sports drinks.
I don't know. What y'all want me to tell you? That we better than everybody? You want from me? No, this has been an amazing year. I told y'all, don't let us win a championship. And clearly, nobody could stop it. I warned y'all, so... I'm just going to continue to destroy people on Twitter, as I have been, and Instagram stories. I really love this group, and when I say this group, I mean this entire group. You know, there were times where we won a championship. Everything didn't have to be aligned. Like, you were just that good. And for this to work, every single person up here had to be aligned. And it's so special. And... You know, you talk about which championship means more, and the reality is every single one of them, it has its own journey. I was numb to the entire feeling of after the game because of the journey that this was. And what you appreciate about the journey is the people that you go through it with. And, you know, what brings me the most joy, I know everybody probably think is talking but what brings me the most joy in winning a championship ever since I won my first one is seeing the guys who win it the first time. Because in your journey, you always want that feeling back. Like, that first time you do it, you want that feeling back. And the reality is you never get it again. And the only way to truly get it is to feel it through an Andrew Wiggins, is to feel it through a Jordan Poole, is to, you know, to feel it through an Otto Porter and Belly and Moses and JK and GP. And that's how you get that sensation again. So thank you all. And as always, f*** everybody else. I love y'all.
Oh, Draymond.
The only thing he did that annoyed me yesterday is that he was talking to a guy on, like, you know, I guess their version of NBC Sports. And he's just like, you know, and we're just drinking Loco or something like this. And then he holds up the bottle and there's like nothing, nothing's gone.
He hasn't even drank any of it yet.
Yeah, if you're drinking, I mean, you drink it.
I do kind of get a little chafed by them trying to turn this into a we were the underdogs type of story. You still have one of the best players on the planet in Steph Curry on your team. You've got, you know, Draymond Green, obviously. You've got the number one picks in the draft, and Andrew Wiggins that you ended up getting to come to your team. You've got Klay Thompson, who is healthy.
They were not back. No. They were rolling earlier in the season. Everybody got hurt, and then they kind of stumbled to the end, especially without Steph Curry after he got hurt against the Celtics. I got to give Fred credit because he picked Golden State when the playoffs started, but Phoenix was far and away the best team in the league. Memphis had Ja Morant before he got hurt, before that playoff series where he got hurt.
Oh, hang on. Ja Morant is a guy, and Ja Morant has a good team around him.
Memphis,
but they're not Golden State.
Memphis was fantastic all year. There was an underdog portion of this.
But you had a team that had a pedigree. I mean, they were one of the best teams in the century.
How many people picked them to come out of the West? Not many.
Other than Mike Gorman, he's one of the people. He picked Memphis.
I think they were perfectly fine being underdogs there.
Other than Phoenix, that's the only other team that you can take a look at.
A lot of people picked Memphis, including Mike Gorman at one point this past season.
Well, that was a bad pick then.
Obviously.
I mean, even back
it's
then.
It's easy to look back at it and say that. Now, Memphis was a dominant team for a long time.
Any team with Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson should never be considered an underdog.
Obviously, it's easy to say that now because they ran the table and won the whole thing and looked very much like their old selves. But during the season, especially the second half of the year, many more people were picking Phoenix to go back there and Memphis to make a run.
By the way, Kenny Atkinson, did you hear what happened with
him? Yes, and I think it's fantastic.
So Kenny Atkinson was one of the assistant coaches for the Golden State Warriors. He was supposed to take the Charlotte job.
Met with Michael Jordan, thought about it, and went, nope.
and basically said, I don't think I'm going to do it. I'm going to stay with the Warriors. Now, that says either one of two things. Either one, Steve Kerr is going to be leaving sometime soon, and Kenny Atkinson wants to take over. Or two, it's just how awful everything is in Charlotte right now with Michael Jordan at the helm. Because that's a good team.
Yeah.
Like, that's a team that's got a lot of talent.
Good building blocks on that team. And they're all young. And so you know what that means. The door's back open for Mike D'Antoni to run that offense with LaMelo Ball. And they got to score 130 points a game.
As a fan, I'll take Mike D'Antoni. As somebody wants them to actually win, I don't want Mike D'Antoni.
No, correct.
But I want to go to one of the games, just like a regular season game where they're going to score 145 points.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that. But, yeah, that was a major. Now, was that considered a Josh McDaniels leaving them at the altar moment? Had he officially agreed and they were starting to make, like, moves and get, like, assistant coaches lined up?
I don't think assistant coaches were lined up yet, only because Kenny Atkinson was still coaching for Golden State in the playoffs. But it was, like, a week there before the time the story came out and the follow-up.
He was the coach.
Yeah, he was the coach for about a week before he changed his mind.
That's just fantastic.
All right. So, well, when we come back, yesterday was June 13th, or Juneteenth, I should say.
Yes.
Which means that a lot of people were not around, but one person was. And we had, for the first time in our lives, met a friend who had only been our friend over social media and on the phone. And we got to finally meet him yesterday, and it was a big treat, and we'll have that for you coming right up.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.